Money FM 89.3, the best of the afternoon update. Money in the Market on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Money in the Market. I'm Hong Bin Jung. Headwinds from slowing growth and higher rates that have been plaguing investors in the past year have continued as key market drivers this year as well. But it looks like higher rates may come to an end soon, with more market watchers executing that the U.S. Fed to end its aggressive tightening move by year end. So how are investors positioning their portfolios, and what key trends did we see in the month of March? Well, joining us on the phone today to tell us more is AJ Kaling, who is the head of international education at TD Ameritrade. Hi, AJ. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So AJ, you know, January was a great start for markets on the back of China's faster than expected reopening. February wasn't really able to keep up with that momentum, witnessing a huge sell-off. And in March, the banking turmoil took center stage. How is the month of April for markets faring so far?
Well, you know, of course, it's just a few days into the trading month. We had the market holiday on Friday. Mm-hmm. So far, it's been fairly muted. You've seen S&P down about 0.25%, NASDAQ a little bit more. Dow is actually up a little bit. So, you know, kind of some mixed signals here. One trend that I have been looking at is a trend line on the S&P 500 going back from the beginning of last year. It's just been on a steep downtrend. And I know on radio, this doesn't make it that captivating, but you have to understand here, anytime you have a support and resistance for technical analysts, it's very noteworthy when a trend gets broken. And we saw that at the beginning of the year. Like you mentioned, in January, we had a really strong momentum kicking us off, and it broke above that trend line, only to come back down during the month of February and March during that sell-off and the banking turmoil. But the important part here is it bounced off of that. So former resistance now looks like it's forming support here. So we have bounced off that. So far for the month of April, it's been a little bit muted, like I said here. We're looking for some kind of conviction on which direction the markets are headed. We do, of course, have a lot of news coming out soon with the CPI this week and, of course, corporate earnings coming up as well.
Okay. So what are some of the key themes that are moving markets this year?
Well, you know, everyone was kind of skittish to start the year, right? Because we just had such an abysmal 2022. So we saw most investors tilt towards value over their growth stocks, you know, trim some of their big tech stock holdings in favor of financials and energy stocks. Probably not the best timing. One stat that I found really interesting was that just three stocks have driven half of the S&P 500 returns in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Those three stocks were Apple, Microsoft, and Nvidia. So it kind of sounds like kind of a replay from a couple of years ago when FANG stocks was everyone was talking about here. Just a couple stocks are really kind of driving the gains so far this year. In terms of themes that are moving markets, well, one of the reasons that those stocks could have been performing so well so far is the fact that they might have been overstaffed, and they have announced many layoffs and have been cutting costs left and right. And I think investors are kind of pricing that into their stocks now, realizing that these companies saying, hey, listen, we might get into a period here where it might be, kind of difficult to operate, and we need to be as slim, agile as possible. And they've already started those layoffs and those cost cuts. And that's maybe why we've seen some of their stock prices rise much more than others.
And I just want to circulate back to your point about how FANG stocks, or the top three stocks that are moving the S&P 500, you know, FANG stocks last year, they were battered and shares were not performing that well. What's led to this change?
Yeah, well, it's probably a lot to do with the overall macroeconomic conditions. You know, for the past 10 years, money was cheap. Interest rates were low. And so it's not just the FANG stocks, but just tech stocks in general. You know, of course, the Silicon Valley area where, you know, these startups just require a huge influx of cash. And it was okay. You could do it. It was just so cheap. And so what's happened since, of course, we know with the rising interest rate environment, some companies are better positioned than others to deal with that. Of course, we mentioned Apple and Microsoft, huge heavy hitters that have been around for a long time. NVIDIA, fairly new, but you know, AI, of course, is just drawing a lot of attention lately. And those NVIDIA chips are what powers ChatGPT. And I think I read somewhere close to 10,000 chips required it to operate. And so, it, you know, it's also going back to something that we saw recently in the markets. There's a period there where if you added blockchain to your company's name, your stock would take off. Whether you were in the blockchain industry or not, it seems like everyone wants to get into AI now. And so some of these new technologies are also powering some of these tech stocks in the first part of this year so far.
Okay, okay. And speaking of rising interest rates, you know, with many market participants now expecting that the U.S. Fed policy tightening cycle, it's moving closer towards the end. What are some of the trends you're seeing in the current market due to this?
You know, you have to understand, of course, the U.S. Federal Reserve has a dual mandate, being the first one, maximum employment. They've pretty much reached that, especially when we saw the jobs numbers last Friday on, on Good Friday before the markets opened. They actually didn't open. We had futures trading for a little bit. So it was a really interesting day today to see how equities would react to that news here. And it was pretty muted. We have low unemployment here in the U.S., 3.5%. It's historically low right there. So, okay, dual mandate, number one, done. The other one being price stability. They obviously haven't achieved that yet. Inflation is still running very hot. They have a 2% target to reach for inflation. And it's going to take a lot to get back down there. You know, a recession would get us to the 2% target rather quickly. But then what? What happens when they try to kickstart the next growth cycle? If you have to lower rates again to stimulate growth, are we worried that inflation is going to take off again? So, you know, when it comes to trends we're seeing in the U.S. market, you know, relative to the Fed's policy tightening, we're really focused on what's going to happen in May. I'm in the camp that we are going to see one more rise. They're going to hike rates one more time in May. I think they're going to end it there and we're going to coast at that current level. And I'm not anticipating a rate cut for the rest of the year, but I might be alone in that. Because I was looking at the Fed funds futures in December, and it's an over 50% probability that it would be a 75 basis point cut, assuming we get the hike in May. There'll be a 75 basis point cut by December. So the markets are really saying, like, they're calling the bluff of the Federal Reserve. They're saying, you're acting all hawkish, talking all hawkish, but we think you're going to be forced to lower rates to stimulate growth before the end of the year. Anything can happen. There's so much to happen between now and then, though.
I mean, then with such market conditions, what sectors are investors looking into?
Well, you got to think about really, you know, when we are in this current high rate environment, how is that going to impact corporations? And one of the areas is that, first of all, like we were talking earlier, money isn't cheap anymore. It costs money to borrow money. So you want to look for areas with positive cash flow, companies that are continually to have, you know, generate good cash flow. They can fund their own projects and they don't need to borrow. Because I'm not going to say that we're heading towards a credit crunch, but I think it's going to be, we're going to see a lot less banks originating loans, whether it's to individuals or to corporations. So, you know, positive cash flow, very important. If you want to look for just a place to hide for a while, I think industrials could be a good place maybe for the next 6 months. Energy also looks fairly attractive with oil bouncing off yearly lows, and the dollar is also under a bit of pressure. So energy and industrials might be a decent place for the meantime.
I mean, inflation is quite top of a concern for many. So would you say stocks are an effective inflation hedge over the long term?
Yeah, of course. You know, we haven't been in this high inflation environment in so long. You know, for the longest time, the Fed was struggling to reach that 2% target there. Right. And finally, all of a sudden, it's just exploded. And now it's interesting because a lot of investors are going around saying, with inflation so high, how do I help protect against that? I think there's one thing you need to keep in mind. Over the last 100 years, the average stock market return has been around 10% annually. All right. And so with that you know, first of all, a long history of average returns. Of course, it's been more than that. It's been much less than that, as we saw last year, too. But on average, about 10% per year. And if you look at the past 10 years, annual inflation, like I said, has struggled to even eclipse 2%. So if you have a long enough investment horizon, stocks could be a good place to beat that inflation. And of course, we did spike up to around 7% inflation, and it's come down since then, looking to be hopefully around the 5% level of core inflation when we get that CPI number later this week.
Okay. Okay. So how are investors positioning their investments at the moment?
You know, what we've noticed is not too much differently. You know, again, going back to what I was saying, if you are a long-term investor in the stock market, mm-hmm. you know you can average around a 10% annualized return. Now, that being said, I understand that there's other choices out there now. Receiving 3.5% to 4% on a banking product or a treasury bond, that's not bad for a small portion of your portfolio. And we have seen some customers rotate into there in the meantime. But overall, and especially after last year's market decline, stocks really do continue to be a reasonable investment.
Okay. So are there anything you're seeing different amongst, say, Singaporean investors? What are some of the investment trends you're seeing within Singaporean investors?
Well, you know, on a macro scale, there's a very interesting distinction that we saw in the month of March. In fact, we just got this data a couple hours ago. It's our investor movement index. It's what our TD Ameritrade clients are doing specifically in Singapore, but also for the global TD Ameritrade client base. Globally, TD Ameritrade clients took a neutral stance in March, but our Singapore client base actually increased exposure. So there are a couple key examples here. They were net buyers of the electric car maker Rivian. Now, Rivian, of course, stated recently that they're on track to meet 2023 production targets. We think that could have been a catalyst for the investment. Also, net buyers of Disney, Walt Disney Corporation, is Bob Iger, of course, came back as CEO. Continues his turnaround plans, you know, and they also have lost 50% of their stock value since the beginning of 2021. So we think clients might be seeing a buying opportunity there in Disney. One that can always shows up every month is Alibaba, a bit of a favorite of our Singapore client base. And it was good timing, of course, as we heard the news, the stock is up 25% after announcing some of the, you know, that split off plan for what they want to do with the company. But they weren't all net buyers. They did sell a few key names. And this I thought was interesting because of some of those stocks we were talking earlier about, like Apple and NVIDIA, FedEx, the shipping company we haven't talked about yet. But all those stocks, those three stocks have been on a really strong run this year. So we think a bit of that was some profit taking since the beginning of the year there. So some distinction going on between the Singapore client base. They're a little bit more putting on much more of a risk appetite than our global TD Ameritrade client base.
Well, do you see different investment trends then amongst those in Singapore and in the greater Asian region?
You know, the one other trend that I noticed here was they're staying away from consumer discretionary stocks a little more than our global client base. I talked about this in my column that's posted on the TD Ameritrade Singapore website yesterday. Was two stocks that came up recently in the news was Costco and Levi's. Costco is a huge retailer in the U.S. They didn't release earnings, but they did say that same store sales had declined for the first time month over month in 3 years. And we think this might be a trend of just people just not buying things anymore. They're not just going out and buying furniture. That was something that was, you know, was very popular during the pandemic years. But it's much more experiences lately, as we saw with the jobs number on Friday. Of the 189,000 private sector jobs that were added, around 74,000 of them were just in leisure and hospitality. Okay. So it just is points to the fact that people are spending on experiences now. Now back to my point here about the distinction, you know, Levi's was the other company that did report earnings, beat top line figures, but reported an inventory surplus. The stock got hammered for that. The reason why is that they're going to have to probably mark down prices just to move product. The reason why I think this is noteworthy is could this be the canary in the coal mine? Are there other consumer discretionary stocks that are about to report earnings that could be in trouble because people just aren't spending money on goods anymore and rotating instead to services? I also want to, you know, kind of preface this by saying or saying after I made the point, but that, you know, not all stocks are going to act the same. Could this be the canary in the coal mine? Maybe. But we saw something with this, like this happened with Nike last summer, had the same inventory issues, but came out of it stronger on the other side. They dealt with it and were able to weather that storm. So, you know, not, of course, all companies are operating on the same level here. I'm just really interested to see what will happen with these discretionary stocks coming up here during their earnings season.
I see. But before we let you go today, how should investors then well position themselves to mitigate such volatility in markets that we're seeing lately?
Yeah, I mean, you're right that, you know, down 20% last year, and we thought we were, you know, kind of out of the thick of it with that big, strong run up at the beginning of this year, only to see it sell off and aggressively sell off, you know, during the banking turmoil. So there is a lot of volatility out there. I would say that if you are concerned about a hard landing, i.e. the Fed bringing inflation down, but crashing the economy, probably stocks that might perform better are those non-cyclicals in the consumer staples. If think about it, if you get laid off, you're probably not going to go out and buy new furniture or new jeans, but you are still going to buy soup to feed yourself and your family. So some of those staples could be a good place to go hiding. I already mentioned it about how the latest jobs report was, you know, heavy on the leisure and hospitality. So you could lean into a discretionary trade there with some caution. Or, you know, if you just want to play it safe, overall broad-based index funds tracking the overall market, because we know stock picking isn't the easiest thing, but we go back to that stat. For the past century, the average stock market return has been 10% every year. And if you are well diversified, you could probably take part in that as well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, AJ, for that.
Thank you, Hongbin.
Thank you. We've been speaking with AJ Kaling, who's the head of international education at TD Ameritrade. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.